Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. We're continuing to talk tight ends today. 2018 prospects looking ahead to next year's class and this year's college football season even, and to a lot of the names that we believe will really stand out, not only as college football players, but also as NFL prospects. We've talked about Mike Gesicki from Penn State, Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin, and Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State. So we figured you might be a little tired of our voice, so we brought in a great guest. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. His name is Michael Kist. His Twitter handle is Michael J. Kist, so he keeps it simple. He keeps it real. He keeps it 100. He is the writer and the co-host of Breaking Football, and he contributes for a lot of different places and is a Scouting Academy student, really knows his stuff. And we really appreciate you coming on the show with us today, Mike. Looking forward to hearing your thoughts on the tight end class. And maybe you'll throw a few historical facts our direction as well.
Yeah, I got a question for you towards the end of the show, so be prepared for that.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, do I need to, like, am I just going to check out for the first, like, 15 minutes of this one? Like, you guys going to just go back and forth about, like, Prussian leaders and, like, why this crap didn't work here and there?
Listen, I don't actually know that stuff.
I thought you were a Persian history major.
Sometimes I wish I was, you know, but yeah, not
I told
today
you, because you ruined it, John. Because the first question you answered like so yeah, well with such true enthusiasm, I was like, he's gonna ask us history questions every damn week now.
And he does.
And he does.
If you listen to the Fan Friday episodes, it's Michael who consistently asks the history questions that we either answer or somehow circumvent as best we can.
John, I give you a lot of credit too, because that first question about Cyrus the Great was actually a trick question. But you explained all the ways in which he wasn't a shopkeeper. Actually, it was Darius the Great who was labeled a shopkeeper. So good job on that.
Well, there it is. See, got to know your history, man.
People already have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm confused, and I answered the question. So let's talk some tight ends, man. You've seen Mike Gesicki. You've seen what he offered to Penn State, and last year had a pretty impressive season, to be honest. I mean, displayed ball skills, made some catches that would make anybody's highlight reel. And having said that, though, when Trevor and I watched him, we thought this guy kind of had like a dad bod and maybe like a dad run to him, and weren't that sure athletically where he'd measure up compared to NFL standards.
Yeah, I think his biggest ability is his ability at the catch point, and that's where his basketball background shows a lot. His ability to high point, uses his length to create a window at the catch point, even if he doesn't necessarily have, you know, separation, which is like something that Chris Godwin was really good at last year as well. But that being said, you know, his ability to sink his hips and burst in and out is of breaks and snap off routes is just straight butt cheeks. So I don't know.
That's extremely accurate.
Certified butt cheeks.
Yeah, that's extremely accurate. I like that.
Yeah, and to go along with that too, he also struggles with some athleticism in space, where he's going to have trouble tracking more athletic linebackers and latching on, because guys just typically ran around him. I don't know if you guys saw the same thing, but yeah, other than his ability to high point the ball and come down with some crazy catches, I just don't know if he can separate, and I don't trust him in space as a blocker. And really, the game against Indiana, he got walked on a couple of times as well.
Yeah,
I've just got to say that he just like doesn't have explosive hips. Like, that's just got to be what it is. Because going vertically and even going in a straight line, he's okay. You know, he does that pretty well. But man, yeah, you ask him to change direction at all, whether it's whatever degree it is, he just can't do it the way that you see him do it in like a linear sense. So.
Yeah, and when he's getting pressed off the line, it just looks like he's stuck in mud. Like, there's no way he's getting off that press. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know that he has move capabilities, really, for the NFL. I mean, here and there, perhaps, red zone, you know, you go out in 12-13 and you flex him out, then get him with a linebacker and, you know, ask him to run a fade. Okay. But we're talking about, like, legitimate move capabilities between the 20s. I just don't know if that's in his wheelhouse. I think he's going to be an inline guy, and to do that, you're going to have to be at least an adequate blocker, and I'm not sure he's close to that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him doing an all right job, but I mean, going to the NFL, it's going to be a lot different because you can block up, you know, Taco Charlton or someone like that who's got a skinny base, and it's going to be easier for you. But some of the other stronger guys he had some issues with. So I agree there. I mean, vertically, he's got good straight line speed, able to high point the ball, good hands. But I don't know if you can rely on him just from the other than even in the short to intermediate area. I don't even know if he can consistently get open there. Yeah. So big question marks around him. He's going to be highly productive, you know, with Chris Godwin leaving and him being one of the more featured weapons now. But, you know, what is he really going to give you that translates is my issue, because McSorley's going to throw those YOLO balls to him. But, you know, other than that, I just don't see the consistent production being translatable.
How about Troy Fumagalli from Wisconsin? I mean, this guy, I thought he caught the ball extremely well away from his frame. And then when you consider the fact that he only has 9 fingers, that kind of adds to the legendariness of what he's doing, I think. And 6'5", 250, he's going to bring size a lot of people, a lot of teams want. I think he's a little stockier, a little more muscle on his frame than Gesicki. Probably still needs to get a little bit stronger, but a couple guys that we've talked about so far that are former walk-ons, he's one of them, earned a scholarship in 2015, has done some pretty nice things on the field since then. What do you think about his NFL projections, although I know it's pretty early on still?
Yeah, I was talking about somebody about him on my podcast, Breaking the Draft, and they were saying that he was, like, sneaky fast, and essentially he was saying he's white and he's fast, which I think
which is a deadly combo.
Trevor can tell you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I heard, Trevor, you did pretty well at the combine there, running the 40. My 40 at the draft was not so well. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I did see the video. It looked like you said moving in mud for Gesicki. It was pretty Gesicki-like, I would say.
To be fair, the runway for that 40 was laid over like an old baseball field, so it was like clay. And then it had rained the night before, so it was like real muddy and like, you know what? Let's not make excuses for why I fell running the 40. Let's get into Fumagalli. So his straight line speed is pretty good. I do feel his agility is fairly limited, just like with Gesicki. I don't think he's going to snap off routes and get separation that way. He is pretty savvy, though. I like the way that he attacks the hips of the cornerbacks and attacks their leverage as well. So he does a good job with that. And I think he's going to be able to get more open consistently than a guy like Gesicki will, you know, when he's going vertically and having a snap off. So I feel better about him as a blocker than Gesicki. I think he's got more strength. And also, I mean, he's got the same strength as Gesicki does in the air. He catches away from his frame. He's able to catch above his eyes pretty well with his hands out and his 9 fingers, which is really impressive. When I read that, I saw your article on him, and I wouldn't even know that he only had 9 fingers. So he's got really strong. He catches with his with his fingertips. So he's got really good ability at the catch point. And his catch radius is looks pretty huge. So I think his wingspan is going to measure out pretty well as well. But I just think overall he's a limited athlete. And as far as this class in general, I mean, the last time we had 3 tight ends go in the first round was, I believe, like 15 years ago. Mm. So I think, you know, people need to temper their expectations a little bit, and there might only be one that I'll talk about in a little bit that I would even consider right now in the first round, and it's not for his blocking ability either. So, I think I've heard a lot of hype around Fumagalli. I've seen people put him in the first round, and I'm just not there yet. I want to know what you guys think.
I think Trevor's just in awe of you right now. Because I don't even know if he's still connected on this recording. But
wait, why?
Because you hadn't said anything in a while. I wasn't sure what was going on. Wasn't sure if you were on over there.
Might have had it on mute. I don't know. I've never done a podcast. This is my first podcast. Sorry, might have had the button on mute.
But no, Fumagalli, I completely agree with you. How you said that he's savvy.
Crap about both you guys, so that's probably good.
Fumagalli, like, leaning into his routes and his breaks and things like that. I absolutely think you're right about that. I mean, the way that he can kind of tilt corners and invade their space a little bit. You know, I always think for a route runner, that's so key. Like, if you're going to be a guy who separates in the short to intermediate areas of the field, you better get a corner on his heels and invade his space somewhat. And I think he does that really, really well. So, yeah, I definitely think that was well put. What I really wanted to see from Fumagalli was more in the air, not more from him as in he left plays on the field, but more opportunities.
The volume.
Yeah, just the volume. I mean, Gesicki's playing with YOLO ball King McSorley, and, you know, South Dakota State's quarterback's giving Goddard, like, I mean, he had like 90-some catches. Like, he's getting the ball. You know, he's going to have an opportunity to do just about everything. Wisconsin's offense, you know, fairly conservative, mostly run-based, a lot of heavy personnel, yada, yada, yada. They're not, they don't have quarterbacks that are going to throw into those kind of windows. They just, that's right. Just not who they are. And so I didn't think he got asked to do many high degree of difficulty things as much, which makes his evaluation a little bit trickier. But when he did, and that's all we have to go off of, Western Michigan game, he got two or three opportunities, made them all. Mm-hmm. Based on the very small sample size, I have to say I was pretty impressed with him in that regard.
Yeah, I thought he was, you know, we watched Gesicki first, and I thought that the player that I watched with Fumagalli was what I was going to see with Gesicki, but that just didn't turn out to be the thing. So it was a pleasant surprise, actually, watching Fumagalli's tape, because he looks a lot more athletic. He looks a lot more comfortable in his movements. And that's the thing with tight ends. It's, scouting different positions can be more difficult here or there, depending on what kind of eye you have for the game of football. But judging tight ends, especially nowadays, because most of them have to be receiving threats or the ones worth drafting at the top, it's pretty easy to see if these guys are comfortable being athletic in the giant bodies that they have. And if they are, it's rare. And you're, I don't know about rare, but like it's a great trait, and you could see it immediately, and it's something that you want to covet. But like guys like Gesicki don't look comfortable in their athleticism. They just don't. Right. Fumagalli looked way more comfortable in his movements and what he was doing.
Yeah, I agree. How about Dallas Goedert? Mike, I know that you've seen a good bit of all these tight ends, but he is a little bit different than the rest, I think, in that, like we said, high volume, had a lot of production, offense often ran through him. He was flexed. He was in line. He was playing wing. He did a lot of things and moved around for South Dakota State. Clearly, they relied heavily on him. Another former walk-on that had no Division I offers coming out and actually had some D2 offers to go play basketball and decided to stick with football. And since then has made a pretty nice career of it at South Dakota State. Now he gets talked about as one of the better tight ends in this class. What did you see from him on tape?
Yeah, they really trusted him. And I love, you know, FCS football. So I watch a lot of South Dakota State, North Dakota State, you know, Eastern Washington, all those guys. And he was something that caught my eye down during the year, because the offense did run through him and they manufactured touches to him a lot on screens and things like that, which you don't typically see at such a high volume at the college level. So he was really productive. And I think this year, too, it'll be the same thing. And that's what you want to see from a small school prospect, is them having consistent years of high production. And he's been able to put that together. He's got really soft hands. You know, you see him do those one-handed, you know, catches and contested situations. So he's got that ability. I think he's a really, out of the three that we've talked about so far, I think he's the smoothest athlete, especially in his hip. He could stand to add some weight to his trunk. But I do like his ability in the blocking game, though, because, you know, he'll latch on, he'll uncoil his hips, he'll do some good things with his hands in that area. So I think he's got potential to be one of the better blockers in this class. Not to say any of them that I've seen are necessarily great yet, but I think he's got that ability to play in line more than some of the other guys. His pad level through his route stem is nice. He's also got some dog into him, too. I don't know if there was a couple of times, especially in the Southern Illinois game that I was watching, and he walked a cornerback probably about 10 yards to the sideline when he was blocking for a swing pass. So I like that about him, too. So I think he does have the ability to block in space as well. And like I said, his agility is probably on the higher side of this class.
One of the Villanova linebackers came over his back on one of his catches to contest it, and he caught it, and he pulled it down. He went to the ground. He got up and was, like, right up in the guy's face, like, chirping right away. I was like, tight end one. Great stuff.
I know you guys were chirping. You got the all-chirp team, so maybe you got her to show more of that this year. He's an early candidate, I would say.
Yeah, Dallas Goedert, he's an early candidate so far.
I was saying to John when we were going over this, when we were just going over Goddard's tape, that him getting the volume that he has, I think, is great experience for him because, and I touched on this, scoring touchdowns and being a natural with it is actually an important thing to have. You know, whether you're a wide receiver or a tight end, It's fine. I'm not saying it's automatically a negative if, say, you know, like Troy Fumagalli, you know, he's got great traits, but he didn't get used a lot at Wisconsin. So he's only scoring, you know, what, 2, 3, 4 touchdowns a year maybe. But Goddard's over here scoring double-digit touchdowns. I think there's something to that, that, like, when you get in the red zone, this isn't new for you. Like, this is what you do. You score points. Like, you're used to it. You know, so that's a really cool thing about Goddard that he has that not a lot of other tight ends are going to have in this class, is how experienced he is with being the guy who caps off the drive, being the guy who gets in the end zone. You know, it's not just a special thing like, hey, man, I scored a touchdown. That's cool. I never do that. You know, from a tight end position, this is an every week thing. I get the ball, I'm the star. And so I think that's actually a pretty useful experience tool.
I think. Yeah, and he gets go ahead. Mike. He gets a lot of reps, you know, with open field runs as well. And I think, like you said, Trevor, I think on the podcast the other day, he's got some scoot to him. You know, it's not necessarily fantastic after the catch. It's not dynamic to a certain degree, but I think he definitely gets it done more than Fumagalli and more than Gesicki in the open field. So he's got a little bit of scoot to him. So I agree there.
So there's a guy that you've hinted at, somebody that you see as a potential first round guy. And is he still unnamed at this point, Mike? And if so, who is that guy and why?
It is Mark Andrews from Oklahoma.
Let's go, baby.
are you a fan of him, John?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Beautiful. Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking for like an Evan Engram type from this class that'll play detached a lot, and I'm not calling him Evan Engram athletically necessarily, but I don't think it's too far off. He might not run the 4.5 is, you know, like Engram did, but
4.4, he's got some
right.
Honestly,
I've seen him pull away from some pretty fast defensive backs and not get chased down. So it's there. So you can detach him. And the reason, you know, it's hard to with him to evaluate him as a blocker. So I'm just really not gonna. I'm just gonna call him big slot because, you know, you watched Mixon and Foreman last year, and you saw they had the least amount of 6-plus man boxes. And there's a reason for that. It's because Oklahoma and Texas are playing wide open, and he's playing on the in the slot on the outside all the time. But man, you talk about the ability to get in and out of his breaks, and as a runner, just the feel that he has for contact coming around him, his ability to stop and start, his ability to get lateral and then burst up the field, I think is the best I've seen from this class. He's got really good awareness on zone defenses. You'll see him running those over routes, and when he notices those linebackers aren't necessarily dropping far enough, he'll start to fade up the field and he'll get open that way. On scramble drills, I think he's excellent. Because, you know, Baker Mayfield likes to run around like like someone with his hair on fire. And he's consistently working to find a way to get his numbers shown to the quarterback. So I think he does a great job with that as well. His stick routes, you know, Dino routes, stuff like that. He's going to kill it. As a downfield threat, even in the short to intermediate area, I think he can work all three levels. And I think he's the only one so far that I feel comfortable, you know, trusting in that situation at all three levels detached like that. So, and another guy that's strong at the catch point too. So that's also a plus.
Yeah. You talk about red zone production. Like Trevor was just saying, a guy that, you know, used to getting the ball in that area. Andrews has 14 touchdowns in 26 career games, 12 career starts, 7 each of the past 2 years. But it even goes back further than that. In high school, this guy's red zone production was absurd. He had 17 touchdowns as a senior. He had 21 touchdowns as a junior and even 10 touchdowns as a sophomore. So this guy has been in the end zone and made big plays in the red area a lot over the last 5 years of his life. And I think, or 6 years, I should say, because he's richer. But I think that he has, like you said, potential to be one of those guys that really rises up throughout the process because, yes, he may not project as the best inline guy of the group, but teams are looking for that mismatch potential. Evan Engram's bold for me, you know, but I think that he has at least more potential than any of the guys we've talked about to be that type of a player for an NFL team. And I think that's going to be exciting for him moving forward.
And we saw the NFL not be too shy about that either this year. You know, I know it was a special tight end class and these guys were great athletically at the top. But if you put Andrew's name kind of in that category, he's getting treated like Evan Engram. So I can understand, you know, I don't know if he runs that 4.4 like we were saying earlier, but I really like the point that Michael made there, that he has the Ingram traits as that in like that's almost that like that slot tight end. And the NFL has shown that they, if you are good enough at that, they will draft you high. So you're right. I'm kind of with him. I think that he has an opportunity to do that just because how natural he is as an athlete like that. And it's fun to watch.
Yeah, and you mentioned that, you know, having an offense run through a guy and giving him that experience is crucial. That isn't necessarily the case with Andrews, but he has had pretty decent production over the last couple of years, especially, like we said, in the red zone area. You know, we talked about that with Goddard being a plus. It was definitely a plus with Evan Engram because I think he was so polished because of that, because he knew the opportunity to get the ball was going to be there consistently and his team was going to use him in that capacity consistently. So he was trained and pushed for that level of detail, basically, as a route runner by coaches. And so I think you're seeing a lot of the same things with Andrews, and I'm excited to see what he's able to do this season in that offense as well. No Sterling Shepard, no D.D. Westbrook. And so think the green light's going to be there for him. How about guys like Chris Herndon, Marcus Ball? Anybody else stood out to you? I know the class after this, it seems like there's kind of a glut. No one is really touting anyone at this point. Has a guy stood out to you at this point, Mike, outside of the four that we've really discussed that you think is intriguing and you're excited to look at this season?
Yeah, you hinted at him. It's Christopher Milhouse Herndon the fourth. From Miami. I don't even know if that's his middle name or not, but yeah.
It is now, dude. Yeah. I'm going to use that as his middle name throughout the entire process, so thank you.
Did you just up his middle name? That's phenomenal.
Yes. I sure did. Yeah, Herndon the fourth, man, from Miami.
Dude, this guy, he's going to be at the combine, and John and I are going to be like, hey, why is your name middle name Milhouse? He's going to be like, I have no idea what you're talking about. We'd be like, oh, you don't listen to the pod? Okay, and then we're going to walk away from the podium.
Yeah, you need to Periscope that. That'll be amazing. But yeah, man, I think, with Njoku getting the bulk of the touches at tight end for Miami last year, the glimpses that you did see from Herndon were pretty special, and he just looks like an absolute chore to take down in the open field when he gets going. I'm really interested to see how he develops. Now, he had to block a lot last year and didn't get as many touches as you would like, but the touches he did get, man, he was getting open and he was getting downfield, and he was lowering those pads and putting a hurting on some DBs. So, John, I think you looked into him a little bit too. Is that right?
Yeah, there's a lot that I still need to do on him, but I was impressed, like really impressed by the little bit that I've seen. Now, I don't want to say too much because I still do need to watch a decent bit on him.
Right.
But, I mean, only 46 career catches, but for 571 yards, he's averaging 12.5 yards a catch. And obviously they've had Njoku there, and I think he was there for a little of Clive Walford too, maybe. And so there's been other guys. But this season, he looks like he's going to be the guy, and he's like 6'4", 255, somewhere around there. And
rocked up.
He's, rocked up frame, like not bad weight. I think he wears the number 23, which is pretty inexcusable. But
yeah,
if we overlook that, I think I'm with you that in addition to Andrews, I think Herndon has a chance to really skyrocket his stock this season.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's another one too. Durham Smythe from Notre Dame, the tight end. Not a lot of production. I kind of got the feeling that he might get like the George Kittle treatment, where he might surprise you with his athletic testing he's going to have an injury history as well. He tore his MCL in 2015. He had shoulder surgery as well. I do believe he's a pretty good blocker though, and I've seen him on cut blocks. He struggles a little bit on reach blocks. He was asked to block a whole lot, kind of like how Kittle was at Iowa. So I think he might be a surprise. I think he's got good functional strength. He's a little over-aggressive, just like Kittle, too. He gets over his skis a little bit and can kind of get sideswiped, kind of like Kittle did, because Kittle struggled against Vince Beagle.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was one of the games where I think I started to pump the brakes on him. But Smythe might have a similar rise, especially on draft Twitter, as far as how people might see his ability to translate to the NFL, even though you haven't seen a whole lot of him. So this year is going to be very important for him to show that he can produce in the passing game and stay healthy as well. I don't know if you guys have seen him or not, but I think he's a decent prospect to keep an eye on.
I haven't seen him, and I think Trevor said he hasn't either. We were talking about him before we came on. Mm-hmm. He's on my list, but I haven't seen him at this point. Yeah, like you said, production needs to probably be there and improve, but I've heard from other people that there's tools there to work with if he can get that stuff, you know, in place, kind of. So, I mean, only, I think, 13 career catches at this point.
Gotcha.
He's one of those 13 career catch guys, Trevor. I don't know if you heard a couple, like a week ago or something, Mike, we got asked like by like four people about like dudes that had 13 career catches in college and what we
I don't know how serious that question was. Like, I kind of think – I went back and read it, and I was like, is this a troll?
Yeah,
and I need like, to buy it. And I kind of like stared at it for like 30 minutes because I have nothing else to do with my life. And I was like, man, is this a troll? Because if it is
– Yeah, have you guys watched the the quarterback from South Dakota State of Mining and Technology University.
Hey, listen, you laugh, but I know Mark Schofield was trying to watch the South Dakota State quarterback. I mean, I know he was because he sent me a little clip the other day and he said, this is real grainy and whatever, like the clip was. And I was like, well, you're trying to watch the South Dakota State quarterback, dude. So
yeah,
I don't know what to say.
Somebody's watching on like a Nokia, like non-flip phone, like a Razer phone. That's what the film is on. And Mark's just sitting there in like a dark room.
Hey, I had a Razer one time, man. Those were good times. A little flip.
Speaking of small school guys, have you guys seen Adam Brenneman from UMass? Because he kind of feels like 80% of Mark Andrews. Like if you miss on Andrews, Brenneman is kind of in that same mold, right?
I like him.
He was really productive last year, like 80 catches, I think, or something. You know, so I think he had more catches than maybe any tight end in the country that was in the FBS level.
I thought he looked even more natural than Fumagalli. And I'm kind of like starting to like in my head, you know, we'll get to our rankings in August, but like I'm starting to rank where these guys sit just on like how natural they look for the position. And yeah, Brenneman's a guy who, right, it's just obvious that he's very comfortable in his size, very comfortable in his athleticism because, you know, he can run really any kind of route. And I agree with that. That's a great scenario that you just put out. If you miss on Andrews, because Andrews is going to be, if you're going for that kind of a tight end, Andrews is most likely your top guy, no matter who you talk to. But if you miss on him, Brenneman's a pretty good backup plan if you need one.
Yeah, and he'll make some circus catches. He attacks well vertically. He does some little things with leveraging the quarterbacks or cornerbacks that he's attacking. So I think he's got to add some bulk to his frame. But I think he's got the frame to do it. So you know, I don't necessarily think that that's going to be an issue with him. So
I have the best hands, I think, of the guys that I've watched this so far this year. Like the ball come to him, and I've seen him make a couple one handed catches, but normally when the ball comes to him, no matter where it is, you know, like low, high, at the midsection, he's got two hands on it and he is bringing that bad boy in. So he's really reliable, which we lose sight of it. We like these athletic freaks at tight end, but like you have to be dependable as a tight end. It is still the safety blanket of a position for your quarterback. And you want to be as dynamic as you can, but if you can't hold on to the ball more often than you would expect, then you're not doing your job as a tight end. So I think Brenneman is a really great example of that in this class.
Yeah, and I liked his reaction time when he wasn't necessarily prepared for the ball or the ball was thrown behind him, his ability to snap out and grab it with one hand. And there were a couple of times I felt like he just knew he could put one hand up and catch it and he didn't need to put the second one up. And, you know, he just palmed the ball. So I would imagine he's got pretty big hands. But, yeah, he's going to be a dynamic athlete this year, and that's going to push him up the board because as all the guys that we've talked about, really the only one that we were really glowing about with his athleticism was Mark Andrews, and then I think Goddard would be after that because he's on the smoother side of things. But, yeah, Brenneman is going to be an option that people are going to make a big slot out of and then see what they can do in the blocking game with him and develop that later. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, his attention to details is pretty noteworthy, I think, and he really gets after it as a blocker, like a guy that empties the clip, and there's a lot to be desired there, and technically, and I think he can get stronger, but definitely a high effort guy, and he's had a very interesting story, injuries at Penn State, and you know, having to transfer UMass, and you know, remaking himself there, kind of, and he had like a little in between where he was a campaign manager for a political party, you know, somebody who was running for office, I think a state senator or something. It was crazy. So he's a very bright kid. There's a lot going on there, but for him, and I think he's really going to impress teams in that capacity too. So Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate you coming on the show. If you don't know, you need to follow him at Twitter, at Michael J. Kist. The last name is K-I-S-T. And follow the handle for their site where they do, he and his colleagues do a lot of great football work, at @breaking_football. That's just abbreviated FB. So at @breaking_FB. Follow him there. Anything else you want to put? They do another killer podcast, Breaking the Draft. He and John Valencia. Am I saying that right? Valencia?
That's correct. Yep.
And they do great stuff. So make sure you give all that a follow. Check those guys out. Anything else you want to plug, Mike, before we send you on your way?
No, that'll be it. I just have one quick question.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Your question.
So Alexander the Great had a horse named Bucephalus. And nobody could tame this horse. And when Alexander the Great was a kid, his father said he couldn't tame this horse, and they're probably just going to shoot it or whatever. But Alexander was able to get it to calm down. And
Baker Mayfield.
Took this. Sorry. There we go. That's exactly what I know. There you go, Trevor. Thank you.
If we're going by definition, it might be Johnny Manziel. If he really can't be tamed. And it's going to be a failure.
I thought he was going to ask which prospects is the horse.
That's right.
That's exactly where I was going with it.
Trevor's making up for going in the total wrong way from your question last week to coming back and anticipating it. Wow. I mean, the anticipation of Sam Darnold there. Well done, Trevor.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Awesome stuff, Mike. Really appreciate you coming on the show, my man. We'll definitely have to do it again sometime. Until then, best of luck to you and keep killing it with the quality draft work.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Trevor and I will be back tomorrow. More draft stuff for you guys. And we're going to wrap up this tight end group, man. We've got more thoughts to get to, more content to get out of your way, and more opinions on these guys. And it's an interesting class. We've talked about a couple guys that could be at the top. Don't think really anyone's truly separated themselves yet. Clearly, there's some guys we prefer. But it's an interesting class, and we're looking forward to wrapping up a good week, talking about a couple guys that may be flying under the radar a little bit as well, going into detail on them. So, as always, make sure you keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how. Napa know-how. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.